Hey, Brian. Hey, hey. What you doing over there? Listening to Life's a Binge?
Here we go. What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch the TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I am Jared.
I'm BJ.
And I'm Rich.
And we have a special guest with us. Welcome back to the show, Casey Gardner.
Yay!
Oh, thanks,
I do like the, I like the Kermit arms for any guest. Yes. I like that.
Every guest gets Kermit arms.
Yes.
Next time, I'll do it, too. All do it.
But thanks, everyone out there, for joining us for our fun little show. And following us on all social media at Life's a Binge. That's Instagram, YouTube, Twitter.
Thanks.
If you want to call and leave a voicemail, you can do that at 619-438-0532. There's a fun little phone army drop that you get if you call that number. And then emails lifesabinge@gmail.com. And big shout out goes to our patrons over at patreon.com/lifesabinge. Folks like David, Tony, Kathy, Jess, and BJ Lawrence. And the honorary bingers as well. And I haven't said it in a long time, but I really enjoy our theme song.
Hey,
right on.
There we go.
Like, it just makes me happy every time. And we recorded it. Was it here? No, that was at your house.
That was at my house in the living room.
Yeah, in the living room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was like right after I think we moved back in. Or was it before we moved
You had in? The recliner, so it was at right after.
It was after.
Yeah.
The old, new, old spot.
Yes. Man, that was good times.
It's much better in there now. We got this new carpet from my cousin.
Oh, like our area rug?
Yes. It's,
nice.
It makes it so homey.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we're madly in love with our living room right now.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
And just today, I got rid of the Christmas tree.
Okay.
Just today. It's January.
Yeah.
It's still January.
It's not too late.
So,
forgivable.
You've made it.
Unforgivable.
Anyway, thanks out there again for listening, and let's go ahead and start the show. You guys know what to do. Take a breath right now.
Life's a binge.
Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Right?
What's up?
What's up?
What's
What is up, my dudes?
What's up?
Man, last week was fun. Last week was a fun week.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, with Beth.
Oh.
Like having Beth on.
Yeah.
That was
podcast.
Yeah.
She was good. She was insightful.
She's
imagine that.
Yeah, it's very impressive every time. Every time she starts to go on stories.
I said it was like going to movie watching school.
Yeah,
whenever you're talking.
It's great. It's great. So we appreciate having her on, and we also appreciate her sharing us on her.
Yeah,
her,
she shared it all over the place.
So, appreciate that.
So if you're listening now to us because of that episode, welcome.
Thank
Hello,
you.
Hello, Cinema Junkies.
We have we all have a mutual admiration of Beth Society.
Yes,
so very good.
We've been doing this show forever. Can you believe that?
Yes. Well, I mean, yes, we have been.
And what drives me bonkers, it doesn't drive me bonkers, but I almost feel like we got into the podcast game too soon because now all the big wigs are getting into the podcast game and they're just like, hey, I got a podcast too. And like Conan just like, hey, I got one. And then he like,
right.
I mean, he's Conan.
Right.
But like all of a sudden he's like number one across the world.
And he's doing really well.
Like, it does help to have
He's doing really well.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's his name and everything,
right.
But still it's like, I feel like if you launched right now, I mean, you're in a sea of 10 million of them or whatever.
Yeah.
But if somebody comes to our show right now, there's no way they're going to go back and listen to episode one through whatever. And if they do, we sucked back then because we've been doing this show for like 3.5 years.
Yeah. We didn't suck. We were just different. It was just a different game.
That'd be dedication.
Right.
Somebody found us. Let's go back to episode
Let's go back 3 years ago.
Nah, but if they go back, I mean, if they just go back a little bit, like in the last year and a half, I think
it's like 100 episodes.
Yeah, So they would, yeah, they're not, generally they're not gonna, but they might right. if they're on a road trip, some
time
long,
has passed.
You know, some
it's like 200 hours.
Truck driver. You know?
If they go back a year and a half, that's like 200 hours of stuff.
Wow. But you know what's good though? That's like,
that's
that much closer to 10,000 hours. So we're almost, you know, we're almost
anyway,
good at it. So.
Anyway, what's up, guys? What's up? That's where we're at. What's up?
How you doing?
This
Jared?
Week. What happened this week?
I'm probably not going to be on the route that I've been on for a year and a half now.
The route that was someone else's
she's,
route.
She's coming back. Or she's going to try to come back. So we'll see how that plays out. She's taking going to the driving course on Saturday to see if she can drive.
Is a course?
Yeah.
Does she have any peanut allergies?
I made you a present. Wink, wink.
Is it that course in...
I am not here right now.
Yes, that's the one.
Okay, I drive by that all the time.
Yes.
Does it have like pop-up obstacles and stuff?
No, nothing like that. But there's cones and stuff. They were cones.
Hey, what are you barking at?
He's like, there's somebody
barking,
out there who
it's like
needs...
they're barking at a person, yeah. but everyone's here.
Somebody
we're
needs,
all
to,
in the
needs
thing.
To know.
So that's basically where I'm at. I'm just waiting to see. I mean, I'm not losing my job or anything. I'm just going to go back to being a regular grunt, but...
Right. And you, we'll so that would mean what? You would like do a different route all the time? Or
yeah,
something?
Just whatever's available or open or wherever they need me. Yeah.
Now, what area code are you in? Is that your route, your main route that you've been doing for the last year?
619. Since you asked for area code, even though you meant zip code, it's 92021.
I love how snarky you are about it, too. Actually, what's that area code? You mean 619?
Actually, BJ.
Yeah.
Were you trying to play something?
Yes, but I tapped it 3 times and it didn't go.
Oh good for you. Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
Yeah. Anyway.
But I was just thinking that, like... one of the things, because I was thinking about like making like little videos for us, like little promo videos,
sure.
of like 30 seconds of like you and 30 seconds of Rich. And one of the things was like talking to you and then like saying, and if you live in this area code, there's a very good zip code. And then, yeah, you correct me.
Oh, good for you.
That Jared's been to your house.
Yeah.
So,
yes,
if you live
true.
In this area code, I've been to your house.
I have. If you live in 92021, I have been to your house.
But in a good way.
Yeah. Kind of?
No, he's not there now.
Just walk up and leave.
Oh, hello.
I come here all the time. I figured it was okay on my off time,
yeah.
too. So.
But that's what's up with me. We'll see how that goes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Not much up with me. We had Andrea's birthday yesterday, which was really nice.
Happy birthday.
Yep, happy birthday. And it worked out really well.
Let's go a different route.
Because.
happy birthday.
That's it. That's all you get.
Happy birthday!
Oh, sorry, I was trying to do a friend like me, but happy birthday.
A friend like me.
Nothing
you got
can top that.
It is.
You can only get that in the moment.
Yeah, that was just, yeah.
You can't force that.
That was magic. That was like studio magic.
Lightning in a bottle.
You're welcome, world.
But we had a really nice time.
Yeah.
We went out to dinner in the neighborhood. Went to Pete's Sandwiches, Pete's New England style sandwiches on 30th.
Oh, never place I keep meaning to go to, but don't.
Yeah, and it was very good. It was very good.
Right on.
The fish and chips and the... scallops. Oh my God, they were so good. They're just fried, but
so you went to Pete's Sandwiches and got fish and chips and scallops.
Yes. Well, it's like they make like lobster rolls
New
and stuff
England
like
style.
That. But
oh,
it's
okay.
like New
okay.
England style.
I gotcha.
Well,
I gotcha.
Say it right though. Lobster. Roll.
Lobster. Lobster.
Where is it?
Chowder.
It's Pete's? On 30th.
Like right
in North Park,
Upus.
Where 30th. Yeah, jogs around the Jack in the Box there and goes to the left.
Yeah.
30th.
Yeah, yeah.
After it jogs there, it's on that little stretch there.
Oh, cool.
So it's across from Alexander's. And next to a couple doors down from the new sushi spot. That's
whatever it's called.
Yeah,
it's been three different things.
Three different sushis in the last.
You
yeah,
were
ten
just a skitch from SNL's The Californians.
Oh, yeah.
It's right around Alexander's. If you go left on 34th down to 17, down over there to. Anyway.
Found myself on
down
Adams.
30th.
Right.
Oh, God. Go to left on North Parkway, head over to Grimm, take a left, take a right on Upus, and you're right there. So.
Shut up.
Those were the actual directions.
Yeah. Yeah.
That will get you there.
Yeah. So if you get off the 805 yeah. and happen to get off on North Parkway,
was,
you can find your way
correct.
To Pete's.
Three times.
Anyway, that's the main thing. Her birthday was really nice.
Word. So.
That's awesome.
Rich.
I went to prison.
What?
We can't keep the brothers. We just can't keep them out of prison. No matter what we do, the brothers are going to jail.
No, today I did a photo shoot with the Old Globe. They do a Shakespeare class at multiple prisons in the area. When I say in the area, I mean within like a 3 or 4 hour radius. And this one was way out east, Sentinella State Prison. And it was amazing.
That's the dopest thing I've heard
in
a long time.
Unreal. Like to see, and to see these dudes like really excited and like really like wanting to get into doing the work to like be good at it. And some of them, honestly, I'm not going to lie, were better than some actors I've seen on
at the Globe.
Stage. At the Globe doing Shakespeare. I'm like, you guys should call this guy back because he'd be better as a king than some that I've seen. But and not just them, though, but the COs that were there, too. One of them was a guy who had never seen the class before. And he wouldn't dare say it in the class. Like, he was still very, like, stone-faced.
Right.
But when he was, like, walking us out, he's like, you know, one of the guys in that class, like, I had a real problem with recently, like an altercation with in his cell. And seeing him here in the class, he's like, he's a completely different person.
Wow.
He's like, it's amazing to see. And we're like, and for the teaching artists, they're like, this is why we're here.
Yeah. Like, that's deep.
This is the whole point.
Yeah. That's some deep stuff. That's great.
So they had me there, and they had, and if you know Jonathan Hammond, he was there doing video so that they can get more grants so they can keep doing this work. Because obviously it costs money because you have to pay artists to go and it's very like time intensive. And
were they doing full on scenes?
Yeah, they were reading full on scenes from today. They were doing this. They had some guys come in from that took the class last semester. I don't know what they would call it. But the last round, guys who did like Romeo and Juliet, Julius Caesar. I forget what they were doing today. It was one of the Richards. They were doing a Richard play, and it was great. Like they're
wow,
it was so great. And everybody like it. It shows you that, look, like, these are still, there's still people. Like, people think of prisoners as a sort of esoteric thing that exists, like, off in the nether somewhere.
Or less than human in a way. You know? Like, you're in this role, so now we can think of you in these ways. And I think sometimes, like, with the CO and the inmate, that, like,
this is my role, this is your role, right, and we're like this. And then you could just see somebody out of context, and you're like, that's still just a dude.
They're a bunch of rapists. They're bad people.
Yeah.
Like, no, and they're, and all the, like, every guy today were like, was like, thank you very much for coming. Like, we really appreciate it. Like very heartfelt and genuine. I'm like, damn.
That's, man, so do you remember the name of the organization? It was the Globe Theater, but was it a specific prison outreach?
It's called Arts Engagement.
Arts Engagement.
And they do stuff in the community, too. They do all kinds of stuff.
That's large.
Yeah, they are.
I love that.
Baller, I love that stuff.
Baller status.
So,
I was very
write
impressed.
That down, everybody, because if you want to check it out.
Donate
try to
that
support,
shit.
Yeah, support it.
Send Rich back to prison.
Yes.
I'm going back tomorrow. I'll be up bright and early.
Oh, really? There's more tomorrow?
Yeah, more tomorrow.
Dude. Wow.
I'll be up at 4:30.
Get some video.
Cannot take my cell phone in that place.
No.
I can maybe grab a couple clips on my camera but we're doing video and stuff for that. But I'll show you guys the stills.
Do they pat you down or anything before you go in?
No, but I have to tell them literally every piece of equipment I'm bringing in.
Wow.
So like every single battery, every single this, every single that. Like they look at it before I walk in, and again when I walk out too. Like,
oh yeah,
sure.
Very. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a maximum security prison.
Uh-huh. That's crazy.
Like it's legit.
Wow. Crazy.
So that's what's up with me.
Word.
Yeah.
Casey, what's up with you, man?
Not too much. Just doing my thing with improv at NCT, and
that's the National Comedy Theater here in San Diego, California.
The longest running show in San Diego.
Oh,
yes.
I did make a big decision, and I'm going to grow a mustache.
Yes, I voted yes on that poll.
It is my second recent attempt. The other one, I let it grow for like four weeks.
Sorry.
But like my eyebrows, comes in kind of like strawberry blonde, so it doesn't look good. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna try this Just for Men stuff, and I did it, and it looked like Gomez Adams' mustache. I was like, oh shit,
cara mia.
That's fantastic.
It looked ridiculous, so I shaved it, and then now I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna try it again.
Word,
right on.
That's funny.
I'm
you know,
so
when
excited.
I was younger. Like 19, 18, and like I wanted a mustache so bad. And my brother had got a lip sync contest that was in a bar, and he added me to the team. So I was supposed to be in the bar, but I wasn't 21 yet. And so he'd won this contest, and they were filming it, and they had a makeup person. And the makeup person took mascara and put it on my mustache. Yeah, and I thought I was the coolest thing in the world to have this little, like, it looked like my nephew Anthony's mustache, if you've ever seen
I have.
grow his mustache. Anthony's like, I'm going to grow that mustache one day. I'll show you all.
Yeah, I'm not allowed. Every time I grow out my facial hair and then I shave, I leave the mustache and I go in the living room and she goes, nope. Every single time. That's all it takes.
She has the clipper.
Denied.
Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then I go back in and take it off. It looks horrific, though.
In her defense,
it's a bad call to have it, but I love it so much.
Well, now
so
I want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of grooming, I'm letting my hair grow for the first time in a very long time.
I noticed that.
Like it's like has actual a little bit of actual length.
Rich over here is inspiring you with his
with his sweet fro
that's covered up right now.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah.
You should have seen it yesterday. It was huge. It was this big yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of excited about it, even though I know that I'm thin on top on my hair. I'm thin up top.
But you got a fat ass. Like
a big old fat ass.
You got a sweet ass.
Hoo-ah, sweet ass.
And you got your head all up in it.
Yay.
Al Pacino. That's what we got.
Charlie. Yeah, good times.
So anyway, that's going to be fun to watch is me grow my hair.
I dig it, man.
Oh, yeah. Sure. It's almost as exciting as watching paint dry.
Look at that hair grow.
Look at it.
Sit there and watch it.
Just look at it. He's staring in the mirror. This is enthralling. Yeah. I can't wait.
Baby, get in here. Look.
Check
look
it out. Check it out.
Growing my hair.
What am I looking at?
A friend of mine said something that made me very sad. He said, from this moment on, you're going to have the thickest hair that you will ever have in the rest of your life. Boo. It just gets worse from here. I was like, that sucks. That's a terrible way to look at life.
Oh, yes.
You never know. Some people like hold on to their hair like a long time.
As long as it's all it, like every time I go get my hair done, my lady Heather is the same lady every time. And she's always like, it's a lot more gray. And I say, just tell me if it starts going away. I can be whatever color it wants as long as it's all there.
You know, that's why, because I never get my hair cut by somebody. And so, and that's because of that, I never knew that it was going away back here until I was playing in the bar and there was BJ and Todd were set up in the corner and they had some monitors around the bar and they had a camera behind us. And so it was a shot of me from behind me up in the, on the TV. And I was like, oh, why didn't anyone tell me that I'm totally bald in the back of my head? Because it feels like there's hair back there. So, anyway. Men's grooming.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Hims.
ForHims.com.
ForHims.
Yes, check it out.
Not by Gillette.
That's what's up. What's up?
This just in.
Lots to talk about in the news.
No news is good news.
Are we going to talk about this in the news?
There's lots of news.
What?
I'm just kidding. Oh.
Hardy har har. Hardy har har. While we were talking about to Beth, and I was like, are we doing this or not? Like,
right.
It seemed like a much more bigger outburst here than when I listened back to it. I was like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I was like, I was kind of a douche. But I was so lost, man. Anyway.
It's all good.
I digress.
I always have faith that we'll be able to reel it into where it needs to go.
Absolutely. So what do we want to talk about first? Do we want to talk about football in the news right now?
Yeah, let's get that out of the way.
Football?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk about football for an hour and a half.
Buckle in. No. We're going to limit it. I'm going to set a timer.
Yeah, huh?
You need a sports drop.
I know. We don't have one at all.
What about Lonely Island?
We like sports.
We like sports and we don't care. Who knows?
Yeah.
Sports.
I love it. I'm just going to combine all of those into one thing.
There you go.
But anyway, so what did we think of the championship round of football?
Bullshit.
Boo.
they were both great games. Like, they were both great games. Like, great games.
Yeah.
They were great games. Didn't they both go in overtime?
I didn't think the Rams game was a great game.
They both went to overtime for the first time ever.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I didn't think the Rams game was a great game.
And that game should have been overtime.
It was enjoyable, but it wasn't like It wasn't it was like just a very exciting.
I should say very competitive. Like sure. it was super competitive.
Yes, it was close, and yes.
all the teams were trying very hard.
Yep. Yes, yes.
But then there was that horrific blown call that lost the Saints missed the game. Call.
Yeah, and I missed. I wasn't watching during that, so
dude,
I saw that later.
It was gnarly.
I saw the highlight. And
dude
like,
got tackled before the ball was even close.
Tackled. He got sent to the freaking shadow realm.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Like he was,
it was
gone.
Horrific.
So okay, oh so I'm listening God. To the radio, to rock radio. And they start talking about the dude starts talking about that game.
Yes.
And he's like, it's okay. It's within the rules for the commissioner to see something egregious and then go back and change it and make them go back and play from that point.
That would never happen in a million.
It would not.
It
ever
would be
happen.
The worst thing that
it would
happen.
Be a million. You know, years. But this is already a, you know, and almost a little schadenfreude because you know how sometimes I hate the NFL.
Yes.
But they have to deal with this now.
Yeah.
So it's
It's still talked about. I mean, it was huge news for like 2 days, but
maybe
like
not.
I still care.
I don't know. I haven't been watching ESPN. So.
I think part of what's taking the heat off of that is the people are just focused on let's beat the Patriots. Let's right. just get yes. any team.
We don't care who the other team is. Yeah.
Man, oh man, that Patriots game though. I thought the Chiefs had it, and when it came down to overtime, I was like. Just let the Chiefs get the ball. Just let the
Chiefs get the ball.
Game over.
I think everybody was like, well, that's it. That's it.
And you I just like this.
You can just see Pat Mahomes like down. Sitting on the bench, like I didn't even get a chance.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
I would be such BS.
Yeah, yeah. That was I was thinking about that too.
That was me.
I mean, I'm glad that they changed it so where you can't just kick a field goal and win.
Yes,
because that was just too much. But man, I almost feel like they should do the college style.
Just
and
play 10 minutes. Play 10 minutes.
And see what happens.
See
what
happens. Just say what happens at the end of 10 minutes.
Full 10.
And if you could run the 10 minutes out, you win.
Like, yeah. Why is it sudden?
Just play 10.
But I like the idea. I just like that college style that, like, get it at the 25. You get just try to score. If the other team gets to try to score, match it. You can go for a 2 and try to win it.
That's cool. I do like that.
It just seems like,
I don't know.
It seems a little bit more equitable, like more fair. So
that was such a good game.
Because then every
game,
part
though.
Of the team gets to play.
Man. Yeah. You get to play offense and defense. Yeah. Everybody gets to do the thing. We get to line up our ones against your ones.
I just was sitting there watching the game, and I was like, okay, there's a minute and a half left. Or there's 2 minutes left. Brady's got the ball with 2 minutes left. And it took him a minute and a half, so there's 40 seconds left on the clock. I was like, well, he just scored. That was fast. And I was like, the Chiefs have 40 seconds, though, and 2 timeouts, so let's see what happens. And then they tied it. I was like, yes!
That was beautiful.
It was so great.
That was great.
Yeah, that game. See, that was an exciting, great football game.
Yeah.
I thought the other one was good, too, but...
It was good.
Then I got to give it to Jared Goff. He played super well at the end. Like, he made a couple, like, plays by himself that, kept the alive and, like, sealed the win for them. So kudos to him.
Yeah, there was a moment towards the end of regulation in that game where Goff, like, he looked panicked. Like, he did
what
not.
Am I gonna do? Yeah.
That's why they had to kick the field goal to at the end.
It was good. But anyway, just love football. I'm excited for the Super Bowl. And you know what? I hate to say it, but I'm rooting for the Patriots.
No!
I can't help myself.
Because why?
Oh, dude.
Sorry, Rich. He didn't mean it.
I did mean it.
Because
you can
wave
all you want. Because why not?
Because they're the Patriots.
So,
yeah, man.
So what? I was rude. Up until the Super Bowl, I'm against it. But you know what? Bring it on. Let them just win again. Why not?
I am offended.
It's like when you're watching Tony Gwynn hit the ball and get hit after hit after hit after hit after hit. You don't get sick of that. When you're watching Griffey hit balls and balls and balls, even if you hate Barry Bonds, when he's at bat, you want him to crush one. So now, if they're there, bring it on. I want to watch the best in the world do the best thing ever.
I'm never going to want to watch Tom Brady win another
game.
God,
he's great, though. He's so good. You can't help it. I can't help. I was rooting for everyone against them until now, but now that they're there,
it's stupid.
Bring it on.
Yeah, it's stupid to try to say that he's not good.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I'm not saying he's not.
And I admit that he's very good, and he is
the GOAT.
His experience and he's been in every situation shows, and he's expert at his craft.
Yes.
But
it's not just him, Belichick too. I mean,
they're the greatest.
And that's why that's Belichick is like the reason why I can never cheer for them.
It's
like
the whole system.
Yeah, I can never cheer for someone who doesn't show joy. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Like at least chooses not to.
Brady shows joy. He goes,
Brady
it's
does.
Fucking incredible or whatever.
Yeah,
he said.
So you heard that. You heard that. I was like,
unfucking believable.
He just
is what he said. Yeah.
And they kind of just let it go. I didn't really.
He said a curse word.
Yeah.
That's fine. No one cares anymore.
No.
That used to be such a big deal.
Oh.
Yeah, if you caught a curse word at a
party. I don't know. So everyone else here is go Rams?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Rams. 1,000%.
Yes.
Whatever. I don't care.
But it's fun. That makes it fun, though.
I don't care.
Honestly, when you're like, so passionate about like wanting to see the Yankees lose.
Also, well, and that's the thing. I am not passionate about this at all. But since I don't care about the Rams at all,
right?
Why not root for the best team of all time? Like, why not?
Because I want the schadenfreude of watching the LA Chargers trying to build a fan base.
But see, I don't because I love the Chargers.
See, I don't.
So I really don't want the Rams to win.
No, but if the Rams dominate the market,
good luck.
That's good. Yeah, better. That's good for us. That's good for us getting our Chargers back.
The Rams completely dominate the market. I mean, absolutely.
They already do.
They did, and they will.
Yeah. It is a little. I'm a little irked by like the people that were Chargers fans, and they like moved to the Rams.
Oh yeah,
and within 2 years, they're in the Super Bowl.
We're in Super Bowl. Yeah,
this is my new team. This is my new girlfriend. Look at me. Look at us. We're so happy.
I can
so
wear a hat that's still blue and gold. Perfect. Anyway, that's enough football talk.
I should have set the timer, but I bet we're at it now.
That's enough. That's enough. What else? Oscars? We want to talk Oscar noms? Yeah?
Sure.
Yes. Do you know?
I do. I just kind of heard the list. Heard the list.
You have the list?
I don't have it in front of me, but
the Oscar
someone can pull it up.
List.
I was very interested at people's thoughts on this list.
Yeah. Especially, I think, best picture to start off with, we've got Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star is Born, and Vice.
Okay. Perfect. Now, what are everyone's thoughts on those nominees?
I think that list is bullshit.
I don't see Black Panther like as the best movie. I liked it a lot. I really enjoyed it. I like Black Klansman a lot, but I don't think of it as a Best Picture nominee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else?
Roma.
The Favorite. Roma I haven't seen.
I bet
that probably is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Roma. But I think Hollywood has this kind of stigma against like Netflix releasing movies and getting nominations and stuff. Yeah. I think that's enough to keep it out of getting Best Picture.
Well, I think even that it's
Green Book,
that
maybe? You think Green Book's going to win?
No.
Maybe.
I don't.
Has anyone seen it?
So do you think Bohemian Rhapsody is going to win?
I haven't seen that either.
It won the Golden Globe.
I think Star is Born
is going to win.
Oh, is that's up for it too? Star is Born.
Bohemian Rhapsody should not win because it ends with outright lies. Like straight up lies.
And then Freddie Mercury was elected president.
Has anyone else here seen Bohemian Rhapsody?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you know, like at the end with the Live Aid concert, it's like, we're not getting any donations. And then Queen goes on, now we're getting all the donations.
Yeah.
It's like, it did not happen that way. Number one.
Number two, we
haven't played together in years. It's like, yeah, you did just recently. You play in apartheid South Africa, but let's just gloss over that part. And I'm like, come on, guys.
And that movie, it is so apparent that the band helped write it. Like,
right?
You're like, we were just the bandmates.
We're geniuses too.
Yeah. We're the good guys. And Freddie Mercury, he was a mean man.
He was so mean to us all the time. But we like him, so it's okay.
Yeah, get out of here with that shit.
So
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Now, do you have the list up of nominations still? Anybody?
Yeah.
Because what are the best actor nominations?
Christian Bale, Vice.
White guy.
Bradley Cooper, Star is Born. Willem Dafoe, At Eternity's Gate. Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
And Viggo Mortensen, Green Book.
White guy. So, here's my question. There's a lot of black movies nominated for Best Picture, but no black actors nominated for Best Actor.
A lot of movies with the word black in it.
Right.
You got to make sure everyone knows it's a black movie.
You're telegraphing
here a little bit.
Why do you think that is? If they're nominated for Best Picture, you think the actors that got them there would be good enough to get them to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So why are none of them nominated for Best Actor? Now, if you go to Supporting Actor. Okay. Supporting Actor.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Who do you got?
Yeah, there's like one or two there.
Mahershala Ali was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
For
Green Book.
Green Book. Mm-hmm. Opposite Viggo Mortensen, Best Actor. White guy.
Right.
Yep.
Adam Driver for Black Klansman.
Oh, weird. The white guy from Black Klansman. Again, I haven't seen it, but it's just interesting to me.
To be fair, he is the best actor in that movie.
Sure. I mean, he's great in everything. So, like, he is great in everything, so to give him credit.
I do not protest that at all.
It just, like I said, it's going to seem kind of racist-y of me, but, like, it's weird that all these black movies are they're kind of pandering and being like, these are the best pictures! Wink, wink, wink.
Because they nominated wrong once.
That's what I'm saying. Like, does that seem weird to anybody? It's like they're trying to offshoot the Oscars So White thing from a few years ago by nominating these movies.
Yeah.
But then
probably
no. This is the first time that I'd seen I've not the majority, but I've seen a lot of the Best Picture noms before the list came out.
Right.
And I was hearing those on the list. I'm like,
Well, I had like a speculation too. Like, so for
and I was like, no Beale Street? Because that's, if you want to nominate a black movie,
I gotta see
that movie was fucking poetry. Like, that was a beautiful film. And the fact
and
that
there's
it's
a couple
not, it's not nominated.
There's a couple actor or what's her name's nominated,
oh
I think.
Regina King
she's
was
nominated
for Best Supporting. She's, and she
freaking but she's the only one nominated for that movie.
That's ridiculous.
Which is, it's just, ridiculous. It just seems weird to me.
It's an outrage.
Ridiculous! So. That's how I feel about that.
So that's my little conspiracy mind. No. But well, again, it's, I haven't seen the majority of the movies, but I'm like, it seems racist for them just to nominate them, just to be like, we nominated it.
Yeah, right?
Like,
Hey, my black friend's over here. Like, have you met my black friend?
Right. Look, Black Panther, guys, $1 billion. Like, anyway.
And it's part that, but it's it speaks to the point that the Best Picture is not necessarily for the best film.
Right.
Because more than once, movies have won for where they are in the zeitgeist, not for the quality of the movie.
And then years later,
Crash,
it's like, this
to
is...
name one.
Or Return of the King, Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Like, I forget what it was up against, but they were like, well, look what he's done with these three movies. Like,
best picture, though?
As a whole.
Well, it's like Scorsese getting it for The Departed.
Right. It's like, we owe him one, so here you go.
They give you a Lifetime Achievement Award. Yeah.
Not that I didn't love The Departed.
No. Yeah.
Or DiCaprio for The Revenant.
Or it's like Carl Malone MVP Award. You know, like, you've done a great body of work. Let me give it to you, even though your year was shitty.
Like, I don't think Black Panther is Best Picture Oscar Award winner. It is great. That it's nominated, like it's great that it's nominated,
right.
But it's like it's it to me. It just seems super pandering that they're like, let's just throw that one on there. We all know it's not going to win, but aren't you happy that we put Black Panther on the list, guys?
I thought like, it was going to be a category for like most popular.
They talked about it, but
yeah, but people rioted on the internet. Yeah, like, that's bullshit. Like, don't do that.
Yeah, so it just seems kind of pandering the best picture noms.
Absolutely. It's legit. It's legit. And it made me think about the director award and if they gave it to Spike Lee for Black Klansman because it was really, he deserved it for X.
Oh, right.
You know, or Do the Right Thing.
He deserved for Do the Right Thing.
Yeah,
I thought it for X.
Yeah, I thought for X too, for sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, absolutely. That's how they do the directors though. They're like, oh, we owe you one, so here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
it's not going to be Bradley Cooper for director, though.
Nope.
Because he's too white.
Yeah.
And what's his name? The director of Green Book, the Fairley brother?
Right.
Yeah. He was the director?
He was the
director. I know he wrote it, I thought.
He's in hot water right now.
Really?
Yeah, there's reports of multiple people are saying that he would flash his junk to people on set.
Neat.
As a joke.
Oh.
So there's two
as
directors.
A joke, right.
As a joke. Well, Cameron Diaz, actually, there was a quote from There's Something About Mary.
Yeah.
She was like, you don't realize the creative genius of the Fairley brothers until they show you their penis.
Sure. Oh, like in what surprising ways
I
they
guess,
can do it.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I got it.
Sure.
So, I wonder if that's why, because sure. I think I told you about this Peter Farrelly directed TV show called Louder Milk. And it's really good. And it's Ron Livingston is in it. And it's about people who are in rehab set in Seattle. Very funny, very, very entertaining. But I set my VCR my DVR to record it. And no new episodes have come up. So I wonder if because of the hubbub about that, which I hadn't heard about, maybe that's why I haven't seen any new episodes of Loudermilk, which is very good.
Dang. But there's also hubbub about Bryan Singer, and he's
I just heard about that.
Nominated
too. And what? That
so yeah, well, tell me about that.
Bohemian Rhapsody just lost a GLAAD Award nomination over the Bryan Singer allegations.
Oh, because he's the director.
Okay, so he was the director for most of
a
the
long
movie.
Time. Yeah.
Oh, and then he does the key.
And then there was,
and then they did the
turmoil,
old
and he stopped showing up, and he wasn't doing his job, so he got fired, and they brought somebody else on to finish it.
But he's still credited. 100%.
As the director.
Writer,
Now you
writer
know,
too, right? Writer-director?
I don't remember.
I think he's writer-director.
So you know what they give the credit to if they don't want to put their name on it? Do you ever have you had that?
You bring it up all the time, and I don't know what it
Alan
is.
Alan Smithy.
That's
it's okay.
It is, yes. That's what it is.
An Alan Smithy production.
At the Golden Globes, nobody mentioned his name.
Right. But it won Best Picture at the Golden Globes, and everyone's like, boo! And it's like, come on. That discredits everyone else involved with the movie.
Yeah.
Which, apparently it shouldn't have won anyway, from what you're saying.
Nope.
But still, like, to boo it for, like, one guy's bad deeds, it's like, it's not fair.
It is some high-quality lip-sync, though. I mean.
Yeah. I'll give him that. And, the recreation of the Live Aid concert's really cool. Like, I'll give him that. Yeah. But
Best Picture?
Meh.
No.
Best actor,
not
maybe?
Even, not even on that.
Should he win
list.
Best actor?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, yes. More so than Christian Bale? Because Christian Bale won.
I have not.
I can only imagine that he's great.
I just saw Vice the other day.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he is great in most things.
I'm he's sure good.
Yeah. He's what?
He's good.
Oh, good for you.
Any more Oscar talk? We could talk about it more as they get closer.
Spider-Man
but
got nominated, which I'm very
happy gonna about.
Oh, it's going to win.
Spider-Verse. It's going to win.
I what's it? Riot.
Incredibles 2? No. Come on.
God dang it. Not
Ralph
the only
Ralph
one
the internet. Come on.
Isle of Dogs, though.
Isle of Dogs.
Meh.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, but
good
meh.
No, I think Spider-Man's going to win, though.
It's, well, I'm sure it's great, but it's the amount of artwork and artistic creativity and everything they did with Spider-Verse. There's no way I can lose.
No. I have not seen the entirety of the Best Picture category, and I would pick Spider-Man over any of them.
Yeah.
That could be the
controversy. That's how strongly I feel about it.
It's so good.
Why didn't you
want to nominate a black movie? Nominate that one.
Yeah,
that's
for
true.
Real.
Yeah, it's good.
I was wondering the you know, the new movie Stan and Ollie just came out.
Oh yeah.
It's like, why did they release it in January? Too late.
Maybe they're trying for next year.
That's a long journey.
I know, but
I guess something's got to get released.
Or maybe it's just not good enough.
It's got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
It looks freaking great.
Like, yeah. Everyone was talking about First Man when that came out. Like, oh, Oscar buzz, Oscar buzz, and then crickets.
Nope.
I was surprised. I thought it was at least going to get for either VFX or cinematography. Like, yeah.
It's
gorgeous.
There's something in there. They got nominated for something. Good. I forget what it was. I think so. But, I mean, every year there's something that gets missed and, like, looked over, and that's always big controversy stuff.
I thought it was interesting that Avengers Infinity War only got one nomination.
Right.
Like, Black Panther got, well-deservingly,
right.
got, like, six.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Especially for the things like VFX and those kind of things that they do better than anybody on Earth right now.
Oh, everyone was saying that Toni Collette got snubbed for not being nominated for Hereditary, which I have not seen.
I haven't seen it.
Either. Not seen it, no.
I want to see it. It's on my list. It's next on my list.
Anyway, what else was there? We had something else for news. I forgot what we just said before we started recording.
I think that. Did you have more, BJ?
I don't remember.
That was,
was it?
Really?
Let me look at my thing.
I'll hit the button.
You're going to do what?
I'm going to hit the button. Oh, you're going to look at your thing. Dang it.
Come on, Jared.
I have to switch between pages now, guys. It's not as flawless as it used to be.
Let me look at my things.
Not as flawless. God, where's my stupid button that I'm looking for? I don't even know right now.
I like to play with myself.
That's what's up.
With the news.
Oh, I like to do myself. Dang it. That's what it is. I like to do myself.
There.
I was going to wet my pants. I'm going to like to do myself. I was going to wet my pants. I'm going to like to do myself. I was going to wet my pants.
I can go all day. Anyway.
Like, that's what I do.
You got to add that one to it.
I can go all day. Anyway, let's listen to Matt Warburton for a minute, shall we? Let's do it.
Yep.
And now, another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Hi, everyone. I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know? Well, well, well. It is Oscar season again. Without even realizing it, I recently just saw a Best Picture nom. Oh, that's right. I saw it before it even got nominated. I'm not a bandwagoner. I just know how to pick good movies. I'm kidding. We both know from two reviews ago that that isn't true. But yes, I decided to see what was going on with the lesser-known historical British monarch film of the year, but still got a freaking Best Picture nom anyway, suckers. I saw The Favourite. The Favourite is the story of Queen Anne. Well, not her whole story. She is more of the framing device for the rivalry of two women fighting for her approval as first mate. So basically, it's the 18th century, and Queen Anne is on the throne during their war with France. At this point, Queen Anne is pretty weak, and her friend Lady Sarah, played by Rachel Weisz, is taking over for her, basically doing the taxing political things. If you tune into my last review, it's kind of like what Cheney did for Bush. Listen to that seamless reference. Now you have to start listening to these Life's a Binge episodes in order.
Booyah!
So in comes Abigail, played by Emma Stone, an aristocratic girl whose family has fallen on hard times, so they become servants to the queen. Abigail is intent on living that good life again, so she finds ways to get herself close to Lady Sarah, and thus the queen. Abigail spies on a secret romantic rendezvous between Queen Anne and Lady Sarah, so Abigail knows what she's got to do. She might be well-spoken, but she's got to polish up those oral skills if she wants to please the queen. Oh, I felt weird
that's what I heard.
Yeah. Anyway, thus begins a fantastically British passive-aggressive war between Lady Sarah and Abigail to see who will become the favorite. I mean, there's a bunch of other stuff in it, too, but that's basically the gist of it. This movie was good. It was the kind of movie that made me realize the movie was good. It had a nice balance. It wasn't too heavy, so it is digestible. I felt like if I'm comparing Oscar-nommed movies, it, for me, was like The Phantom Thread. I knew it was and felt that it was good. Even if I wasn't enjoying every single part of it. It took me a while to get into it, but once I got in, I was in. But there also became a point towards the end where I was ready for this movie to be done. So basically the opposite of Infinity War. It has been acclaimed as a comedy, which it definitely has a humorous tone, but I would call it more of a dramedy because it's more of a quirky drama than straight up comedy. It's not a Will Ferrell vehicle. It is very artistic, maybe too artistic at times. There is this point during the action of the movie, it cuts to a slow motion scene of people throwing blood oranges at a naked guy playfully dancing around. I'm not exactly sure why it is there or what it was supposed to mean. Maybe you can figure out a better connection, but I was also in a bit of a popcorn coma at that point. By the way, on IMDb, they have tags for movies like violence or nudity. The Favorite has a tag that says throwing blood oranges at someone. So in case that's a trigger, like you pissed off an angsty barista at the living room cafe and then asked for a blood orange tea and they punk rockily emptied a bag of oranges on you, consider yourself trigger warned. Regardless, I did mostly enjoy it. I just felt like I had to concentrate harder to really keep up with this one. So you gotta go in ready to fully enjoy it. I think this might be a multiple viewing type movie. As far as acting, Emma Stone is great. She plays the charming, manipulative, desperate, but holding up her appearances thing well. It's great to see Rachel Weisz again. I'm sure she's been back. I just haven't really seen too much with her since, like, Hellboy. But it makes you realize why she's such a great actress. Then, of course, the queen herself, Olivia Colman. She's been a British heavyweight for a while. If you want to check out some of her work, I highly suggest Broadchurch on Netflix. It's a heavy show, but boy, is it good. The Favorite, as far as comedies, wasn't my absolute favorite, but it definitely isn't my least favorite, and after a few more viewings, could become more favored than most of its kind. But hey, that's just my opinion. I'd say get thee to a theater and knock this Oscar nom off the list while it's still in its original run and see for yourself, because hey, what do I know? Next time, I'll be going to the political lawscape of the U.S. again and watching the biopic of how our favorite judge-turned-bobblehead doll, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, helped to change civil rights because I'm watching on the basis of sex. Until then, I've been Matt, and this has been What Do I Know?
Thank you, Matt, for another great installment of What Do I Know?
What, you guys had a moment, were you curious if she was actually in Hellboy or not?
Rachel Weisz is not in Hellboy.
I was like, what was that look for?
Selma Blair is.
Yeah, does it think Rachel Weisz is Selma Blair?
Gotcha, Matt. So racist. All white girls look the same.
Fantastic.
You know, it's funny. There was an old skit on Saturday Night Live about a movie reviewer who would review adult movies. Uh-huh. And then he would talk about it, and then you go, and I got really into it. And then I really, really was into it. And then I got sleepy and lost interest. And then after a little while, all of a sudden I was more into it. And I was really into it again.
That was Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
That seems a bit risque for them.
That's funny.
A little blue.
I don't know.
Well, they were risque.
This was 70s Saturday Night Live, too.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. So, like, Dan Aykroyd.
And it was all just innuendo. They never said anything.
Right.
But, you know, it was just really funny.
That is so good. Like,
thanks, Matt. Do you watch current SNL?
Yes.
Did you see the clips? Jason Momoa?
I saw some of this.
He did a sketch where he was an elf on the shelf.
Oh my!
No, God. I missed that.
And all the elves were reporting back about the kids and stuff, and Santa was there, and he's like, "Santa, I want a new kid. This guy is 13, and he's learning some stuff about himself."
Oh man, good times. Masturbation's funny.
It is.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Commercial break. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Break it.
Yeah.
I had one thing to say about Master Review.
Oh yeah, go for it.
So he brought up something major without really probably trying to. So good job, Matt. This movie's nominated for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
And he said straight up in his interview, there's a scene in this movie that I don't know why it's there.
Oh, right. The orange scene or whatever.
That is not a Best Picture to me.
Right.
Doesn't bode well.
Right. Right. When you're like, what is this for? Why is it needed? Why is this here? Is it shock? What's it here for?
One of the number one on my list is tight script, no wasted scenes.
Absolutely.
And if there's a wasted scene, then how is that Best Picture? I don't know.
So we just need one more scene of them pleasing the queen, you know. Like, that's what they were making jokes about on the Globe,
right?
The Globe. Oh, yeah. I didn't know what they were talking about. There are all these innuendos about, and I was like, "That's what? Filthy!" And then what are you saying?
How
like
dirty?
Yeah, it made no sense, but now it makes sense.
I do kind of like when an American actress can pull off playing a Brit.
Yes.
Yeah, well, they do it so well the other way.
Once,
yeah, and they do it so well this way. All of your superheroes are British.
Yep.
Yep.
Anyway, let's take a quick commercial break.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
All these models, like in the Bahamas, the most insane festival the world has ever seen.
Island getaway turned disaster.
It became very barbaric.
Right now, you are the fucking laughing stock of everything.
Just wait until you see what you're getting yourselves into.
American rapper Ja Rule is in the Bahamas with his business partner.
Billy McFarlane
is an amazing entrepreneur.
He could convince anyone of pretty much anything.
They just bought an island.
Pablo Escobar's island. Oh my God.
Ding! We're gonna throw a festival, yeah.
Within 48 hours,
they sold out. These guys are either completely full of shit or they're the smartest guys in the room. We were working around the clock, no sleep.
Billy's like, bring more workers. We need more workers.
Every single day, it got more tense.
He just would not take no for an answer. And he just kept pulling money in somehow.
Desperate people do desperate things.
He was lying to investors and making it seem like we were making a ton of money when we weren't.
I mean, that's fraud.
We need to get the messaging out now that this is not a luxury music festival.
Oh my God.
There's mattresses all over the place getting soaked.
The save yourself mode kicked in.
Right, it's a free for all.
It became this looting mentality.
There's an angry mob, they're pissed off and they want their money.
Powerful models built this festival. And then one picture of cheese on toast ripped down the festival.
They just couldn't physically fit that many people on the island.
The event's co-founder is facing up to 20 years in prison.
If you had thousands of dollars to go on a trip to see Blink 182, that's on you. That is Darwinism at its finest.
The biggest event in a decade, I promise you.
I'll be there.
Back to the show. Welcome back to the show, everyone.
Hi.
So, did we all kind of watch the same thing, I'm guessing?
For once.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, we did. But I want to mention a couple things before we get into those.
A couple things.
That I watched.
I know. We haven't hit that button forever.
I like to do myself. So I watched Hateful Eight. I mentioned I wanted to watch it. And I did watch it. I thought it was good. Yeah. I thought it was good. There's still some of the same Tarantino type of things, but...
Like what?
His use of the N-word, not him personally. He doesn't use it in the movie, but just depends. Like actually the context of it, I didn't have nearly as problem
so
with it.
So that's your recurring, I don't like Tarantino for that.
I like Tarantino.
Like the main thing that
I like Tarantino. Okay. So it's funny too. So I'm watching the movie and Harvey Weinstein production like comes up like right away. So it's hard to like, man. And also it says, Quentin Tarantino's eighth film, like at the in the beginning credits. So Hateful Eight.
The 10 thing stands up. Yeah.
Yeah, I still haven't looked that up yet. Not that trust.
I've heard that Tarantino's only going to make 10 movies. That's his game plan. Can you check that for me? Sweet.
I did, after listening to your, was it the last episode we were talking about Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
I rewatched that scene with Tarantino. I was like,
oh yeah.
Well, yeah, you're a little heavy-handed here.
Right.
A little bit.
You're not, yeah, you're not that, you're not that cool. You know, yeah. You're not, you know, like, it's funny because Louis C.K. kind of got away with it too. And then I think there's a lot of folks who were like, but they're like, okay, we're going to let that go.
So,
like, that's okay.
I was one of those folks.
Yeah. And, right. Because for the whatever reason, the way that he did it, and okay. he directed Pootie Tang. So,
just replace it with guy, what is this, dead guy storage? Like, I don't think this is dead guy storage. You can't just bring a dead guy here. Do you think it's as effective of a scene?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think...
if his delivery is the same?
Yeah. Because he's awkward and weird anyway.
Absolutely.
I think in that particular scene, he overused it, but I think maybe dropping one as like a, what the fuck? Because like, that's his character anyway. Like, what the fuck are you doing here with that?
Right.
Yeah. Like, I could see it, but then again, I'm a dumb white guy, so what the hell do I really know about that word in particular? But...
you know enough not to say it to me.
Well, yes, I know enough to not say it ever.
So you know something.
There you go.
I feel like some of the use of it in that scene was for him to really put Samuel L. Jackson's character in his place, of like, I'm the higher status person here. Obviously, you really have to like respect me, blah, blah, blah.
But I can't imagine, like, Samuel L. Jackson plays it off like...
Yeah.
My instinct says, like, a criminal like that, you know, like, these type of people would be like,
would be furious.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, shut the fuck up. Yeah.
Did you have fun? Did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
Because now.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
I still enjoyed it.
I love that movie.
Hateful Eight was
that
really,
one
was
word
really,
aside. Yes.
Really, was really great.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very good.
Hateful
Eight was really great.
So, according to Vanity Fair, article, it does say that he's for
that's
a long
the game
time,
plan
said
10
films.
Yes,
but there's a possibility that you know
he's a greedy asshole,
another Kill Bill kind of thing where it's a two-parter,
yeah,
or something like that. And who knows?
Well, like I said, I think Kill Bill counts as one in everyone's mind, especially his mind. Like, this is one film type thing, yeah. So, anyway,
and watch him go to Netflix and start making movies there. And he's like, well,
I said
films, theatrical release films, guys.
It's different.
I'm the new Adam Sandler, I make Netflix like everything.
So, I also watched Trigger Warning with Killer Mike. Have you heard about that?
Nope,
I haven't watched it yet.
It's only 6 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're familiar with Killer Mike,
nope.
He's on Bill Maher all the time.
I'm most familiar with him from being on Bill Maher. So he's a very big guy. He's a rapper.
Okay.
In a band called Run the Jewels.
Okay.
And which I didn't know any of this. I've just seen him on Bill Maher and hear
white guy or black
about.
Guy?
Black guy. Big
God
black
damn
guy.
Damn it, Tony. Don't call me because I don't know who the fuck he is.
Who Killer Mike is. Hey, but you know what? He's a rap duo and his partner's white.
Yep.
And so,
oh, yeah, that guy? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the legit guy.
Yeah, the other guy's a good one.
White guy. Yeah.
Feeding Tony right there.
So, but he does a lot of like just very woke messaging in everything that he does.
Sure.
And so this whole show is about he crafts this whole thing, and it's really fascinating, and it's a reality show. But some of it, I'm swearing, has got to be like a little bit engineered. Like, I'm sure they're all engineered, but I mean, like, even more so. Like,
is it like a Borat where he uses real people and then he's an outlandish person?
I think
type
so.
Person?
No, he's himself. He plays himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he just.
I imagine it's called Trigger Warning because he's like going in there and talking about some controversial shit. Kind of. Or does that have nothing to do with it?
I think like the stuff that he talks about, you know, like. You know, black economic justice and stuff like that. Maybe. I mean, there's nothing else that doesn't come in. Huh. I don't think about Trigger Warning.
I wonder why it's called Trigger Warning.
I don't know.
Mm. Anyway.
Good question.
We'll have to watch it and find out.
I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so he does. I'll tell you this one little part that they do.
Yeah.
So they're trying to like, his thing is, his episode, one of them is called Fuck School. And it was just really funny because if you watch F is for Family, there's these two characters who they always have they want to make their film. They're these two guys who work at the airport, and they're always talking about they're going to make their film called Fuck School.
Nice.
And so anyway, it's funny. But his is like teaching kids trades that they can use as opposed to teaching them to dream big.
Yes.
And so he's like, he's like, we're teaching them how to, they all want to dream big and be rap stars and be music moguls. but we need to teach them how to
fix a flat tire.
Yeah, and fix it. Yeah. Like, and so they do this whole thing where he's trying to get everyone's attention. So he hires porn people to make porn movies, but with handy to
how the plumber actually does the plumbing.
Exactly. Yes. 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 How to snake a drain is one of them. How to change a door handle.
That's pretty.
That's fantastic.
And it's and it's full on sex scenes, and some of them are gay men sex, and some of them are lesbian sex, and some of them are straight. And but it's definitely, it's only 6 episodes, about a half hour each. It's a quick watch.
Nice.
And like
channel show
Netflix.
TV?
Netflix.
Yes, on Netflix.
Of course it is.
And, shocking.
And of course it is. In watching that, for whatever reason, the best, there's one of the things at the end where he sets up like almost like this. What was that show where they brought all the weird celebrities in and lived in a house together?
Big Brother,
Surreal Life,
Surreal Life, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Right.
So he sets up sort of a Surreal Life thing where he has like a Jewish woman, something. He has a Black Lives Matter guy, activist, and they have a white supremacist guy in there. And the white supremacist says, "Racial slurs are great." He's like, "And I'm mad because I think honky's a great one, but I'd never get to use that.
It.
Yeah, use it on me." And honky is such a funny sounding word to me. Honky, it's just funny. Move it, honky.
I wonder what that means. What does it mean?
Well, my guess is like it's a nasal tone thing.
Well, because you like when you said cracker was like short for that was my cracker. Guess. I was like, that is a bomb guess.
That's my guess.
That is a real good
and I'm guessing
logically sounded guess. But honky?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like
I'm guessing
honk.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't get it. This doesn't make sense.
Because you're not woke.
I suppose.
Quiet power! So anyway, check it out. Trigger warning.
Watch anything else?
I want to watch that, yeah.
What else? Anything?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
I watch
other stuff,
movies.
Really? Like what?
The aforementioned movie that Matt will be reviewing next week, which is called On the Basis of Sex.
Nice.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Is that a Netflix thing?
Dramatized biopic. No, it's in theaters.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Perfect.
It's all right.
Perfect.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, True Detective is plugging along. 3 episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Haven't seen it.
Ooh, and I watched 8th Grade.
Is that good? That's Bo Burnham's, right?
It should be on that list.
All right.
It is good.
Now, tell me if this is any kind of concern. When I hear of a movie called 8th Grade,
mm-hmm.
it makes me think of Kids, the movie Kids.
No.
And you can understand like the trepidation about that, like and then the movie 13, you know, where there's like very like explicit sex stuff happening with underage kids. That like I'm like I do not want to see this. I don't want to watch it.
There's nothing explicit. Like there's, I mean, no, they're
good.
13, so there's hints at like we're trying to like do stuff, but
it's not like that. Dude.
You don't see.
I think that dude has explicit. Got problems.
Yeah,
I think. Like
who? Bo Burnham?
No, the director of Kids.
Oh, I was
it
like,
it just seems like it's his imagery is just too.
No, this is way too way too authentic and like heartfelt and obviously coming from a place of like I used to be 13 and awkward.
Right.
I can't imagine what it's like to be 13 and awkward with social media.
Sweet.
And it's good.
Imagine.
It's
really
good.
We're gonna watch.
Imagine it.
I want to see mid 90s too.
Yeah, I want to see that too.
I don't know what that
now
is.
Now that's
either.
the what's his name? The dude, funny dude.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill, yes. That's all we needed. Need a little chicken and corn.
That's the back end of it. It never makes it that far.
Someday.
Yeah.
Someday we'll get
there. Do you have that whole thing on there?
Of course I do. Yeah. I don't know what that is. Is it a movie?
It's a little video
fictionalized
clip.
Movie?
It's
or?
A coming of age. It's like the same thing. It's like 13-year-olds.
Oh, I thought you meant the clip.
No, dude. BJ's still in this world. And I'm like, what's that movie about? BJ's over there like.
Somewhere else.
Yeah.
So yeah,
mid-90s.
Yeah, it's like a 13-year-old in the 90s.
Perfect.
And it's like really, really accurate with the cars and everything.
Yeah.
But in the trailer, I haven't seen it, but in the trailer, they do hint at that kind of thing of like, he's at a party and there's a girl, she's an older teenage girl. It's like, oh, okay, this is kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how it was.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it was.
Anyway.
Those limits of art, though, man. Yeah, those are the limits of art, I think.
I watched, this was a couple weeks ago, but I watched the thing on Netflix called American Meme. Anybody watch that?
I have not watched that.
It's about, like, influencers and how they are changing the world and everything, which is a nice tie-in to the other thing that we're about to talk about.
How was American Meme?
It was okay. It does make you, like, feel for them, and you're like, that's weird that you have this weird life, and like Paris Hilton's a big part of it, and I'm like, you think you picture Paris Hilton one way.
I have no sympathy for Paris Hilton.
Watch the thing, and you will. I guarantee it. I guarantee.
I find that very hard to believe. But
why do you have why? What do you know of Paris Hilton? Because it's probably wrong.
She DJs.
She does now. That is true.
She leads an extraordinarily spoiled, excessive life.
Okay.
I saw her in a movie a while ago.
House of Wax?
Then I lost my interest.
I was going to say what Casey said, but with a different first letter.
But anyway, it does, like, you would be surprised. I bet you'd be surprised.
No, and literally, like, that, you know, I've been, like, trying to examine my own biases as much as I can. And that's, like, one that I have.
It's very shocking.
I have Paris Hilton. I'm like, I hate you.
That's what I thought too.
Talking about these Fire Island movies, the two documentaries, one for Netflix and one for Hulu.
Yes.
And I hate the people that it's about. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to them like talk and like, I'm like, I hate them. Billy McFarlane and then all his influencers and God.
Like the Instagrammers? You don't like the Instagrammers? Anyway.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, hold on. Okay. So American Meme. Check it out. It'll change your, maybe, even if it's slightly, you just won't look down at her like she's a total piece of shit.
Like I want to see that.
Because my thought was like, she's a dumb, entitled, spoiled little bitch. Like that's honestly how I would describe her. And that's horrific to say, but that's how I would.
That's how a lot of people would.
But I feel differently after watching this thing.
Now, are you like poor Paris Hilton?
Almost.
God, can't even. That just infuriates me.
Almost.
She's a person.
She is a person. No, that is the lesson. You know, that's the lesson.
And it's a big lesson. Yeah.
So,
and especially a part of that thing because, like, and it's.
I'm sure she's been just crazy. Completely dehumanized.
And there's other people in it where you're kind of like, okay, like, what? Get over yourself. And that's what you're wanting to say. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're like, wouldn't you be in that same boat? Like we're all in the entertainment field of some sort here and we're all trying to get to that level. And then once you get to that level, how are you going to be like, fuck you fucking entitled prick? Like, you know what I mean? Like you're trying to do that.
Well,
and then just because
they
get there and then they're exploiting it to an extent, like why are you going to look down on them now?
It's different for Paris Hilton and Kardashians when they come from an awful lot of money.
Paris Hilton is literally the game changer in this. In everything.
In a reality
television. She started it all. And and it's crazy how quickly everyone turned on her for just being Paris Hilton. And she didn't do any of this stuff that people... Anyway, it's just watch it.
Yeah, I want to watch it.
American Meme.
Right. I listened to a couple of weeks ago, Lindsay Lohan was on Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I heard that interview was great.
It was really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't fully buy everything she says, but, I mean, there's part of it. She lives in Dubai now. Because she can't step out in New York or anywhere. Like, it's impossible for her.
Right.
Wow.
She's done some kooky stuff before.
Yeah.
Like, trying to save that Syrian family. Did you hear about that?
I saw that.
Oh, my God.
I saw the video. And
that was so cringe.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
Huh. But at the same time, it's like she was thrown into an extreme situation at a very young age and couldn't hang. Yep. And then
Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah. And like,
I feel for her.
And now people think that she's the worst. And I'm like... She's not the worst. Like, nah. She's just a person trying to get by today.
I have a lot more sympathy for like a child actor who's through the machinery and the sausage grinder of Hollywood gets spit out a drug addict on the other end. But I'm very curious.
I really want you to watch it and tell me. I think we should all have homework for other folks.
Yeah, that like. That,
like I said, you're not going to be like, oh my God, like I can't, poor Paris Hilton, like,
right?
Oh God, like I can't believe, like you're not going to go that far, but it will change that part of your brain that's like, fuck that entitled little bitch that is in your brain.
Okay.
Like, it will turn that off.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
So transitioning into the fire
now for
festival.
The main event.
Yes. Yes.
Find Ja Rule, get hold of this motherfucker so I can make sense of all this.
Where is Ja?
I watched. So there's two documentaries. Happened in May.
I think we mentioned it.
May 2017.
We mentioned that they made them both, and Hulu snuck got theirs out like days before.
So when Samantha and I watched it, she's like, "I remember kind of hearing about this. When did this happen?" And I was like, "It just happened like last year." And I was like, "No, we're in 2019." I was like, "It happened in the middle of 2017." She's like, "Nuh-uh." And I pulled it up. May 2017 is when this all went down.
Yeah.
Okay. So from that point to now, there's now two documentaries about it. And then you guys were saying that the Netflix one was produced by the fire company.
Is that true?
What somebody had said.
It was Jerry Media.
And, yeah, okay.
It's the media company that they did the commercial, the initial commercial for the fire festival.
And they
put
out the documentary.
Yes.
Okay. So I watched the Netflix one.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I watched both
of
them.
That's theirs.
I watched the Hulu one first.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I watched all of Hulu, most of Netflix.
And you watched which one?
I watched the Hulu one.
The Hulu one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You didn't
see Oh, no, I watched the Netflix
one. I was going to say. All right. Yes.
Okay. So I remember hearing about this when it happened, and I was like,
"Yeah,
that's a shit show." Like, and that's all. I was like, "Okay, these people sold crazy expensive tickets, and then people got there, and it was like the tents, and it was a shit show." And that's basically my knowledge of it.
Yeah. Kind of went in front of my eyes. I was like, and then like
that was
about
a disastrous, epic fail on a big stage.
I remember following it like live as it was happening, checking Twitter and stuff, and I was rejoicing. Like these entitled, millennials.
A Nelson ha-ha drop for that.
Seriously,
that's how I felt.
Yeah.
See, I never felt that way. Like
about the. You're watching it, like about the people who were
correct,
who got their money taken. And
I don't feel that way now.
I never did, because like a lot of people felt that way because like a bunch of these rich millennial little people are like, boo hoo me. And I'm like, well, yeah, like just because they have money and can buy stuff, like why does that mean? I just don't get it. And I'm not trying to be all like high and mighty or whatever over here, but it's a very like classist thing. And like, I just don't get why people take joy when like, imagine if you bought a concert ticket and like you show up and like you have to sit in a porta potty the whole time. Like that's fucked up for anybody. And it's basically the same thing that's happening over there. But because they had the money to spend $5,000, $6,000, $10,000, $100,000 on it, you're like, good on you. Ha ha. You flew all the way out there and now you have to sleep in a fucking wet bed. Like, why is that different?
I don't know, but it is.
I saw one social media post of this. There's a guy that he won a ticket to the Fire Festival.
I saw that.
Yeah, from his work, and he's like a middle-class kid. And when he got over there, he was just enjoying all of it.
Just right on.
Yeah. He's like watching these people like get mad that somebody threw their suitcase or whatever. He's like, that's funny.
There's a little bit of schadenfreude.
Of course there is. There's a lot of course there is. But at the same time, it's like, I would have been so mad. Like, I could just 100% be like, what the fuck?
On the other hand, I'm not going to spend thousands of dollars to go see a freaking music festival.
But if you can afford it, why not?
Where it is.
But if you can afford it, why not?
Because it's not my bag.
It's one of those things too. Like it's me getting old for sure. Yeah. Is like part of it. Like I'm looking at these kids and I'm like, you kids. It makes me laugh.
$60 to go to a music festival that's here.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like it's just not my thing.
Has anyone been to like Coachella or anything?
Nope.
I've not been to Coachella.
Samantha goes to Stagecoach.
Old for that when it was good.
Rage Coach. She gets a hotel and then like leaves and then comes and watches. But she actually there for the music.
Yeah.
Right. Which I think a lot of people at Stagecoach are about the country music instead of like the party scene that Coachella is and all that stuff. Like Burning Man's like a big party. Anyway. Yeah. So anyway,
we're in the desert, let's get weird.
I watched the Netflix version of this story, and I did not know any of the stuff that went down, and I was completely shocked,
blown away
by what was happening. Like even the fact that Billy owned that weird credit card, stupid company. They go into that in Magnesis. The Hulu one at all? Where Magnesis is previous company and. Yeah. Created this elite club in New York, and you had to buy this card, and it was like a $250 membership.
Yeah, and I hated all of that, dude. I'm watching all of that, just like hating them all more and more. Like every time they're going through the story, I'm like, dicks.
So you saw both.
Dicks, yes.
And you, in the Netflix one, you hear about Billy a lot, and you see, like, some, I guess, behind the scenes that he had set up cameras for.
He's full on in the Hulu one.
He's interviewed, like, first person.
Yeah, that's what you were saying. There's a lot of interviews with him, and after the fact interviews, or, like, as it's happening. Like,
after the fact. Yeah, and that's, like, almost like investigative journalist gotcha.
Is he in jail? Like, is
now
he, like,
he is. Good question.
Yeah. Like, when they're doing the interviews.
6-year sentence, I believe.
When they're doing the interviews, is it like one of those?
He's not,
like,
in jail during the interview.
Is he in that penthouse thing? And
he's not. It doesn't look. It looks like he's.
No.
He's just in a room. Okay. And he's like, I won't talk about that. Or, you know, something that's stuff I won't talk about.
It's fun to watch because he progressively, obviously, gets more and more kind of fidgety, agitated.
I mean, wouldn't you?
Well, then it's like, because he's like, clearly, he's like
a sociopath.
He's a snake oil salesman. Clearly. Like, that's his lifestyle is a snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
And so he's always selling snake oil. Yeah. And, like, now he's, like, interviewed and he has to answer for these things. And he's being realized, you know, you lied about that.
You got cut.
You know, this is wrong and this is wrong. And you did this and you perpetrated a fraud and, you know, and then just getting him caught in it. And then he's, you know, it's just fun to kind of see him.
At one point he literally says, I'm taking a break. And they're like, what? We're in the middle of the interview. He's like, no, I'm taking a break. And he, like, starts taking off his microphone and everything.
Yeah.
It's like crazy.
So, having watched both, would you recommend that people watch both, or would you recommend one over the other?
I'd recommend the Hulu one over the Netflix one.
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mainly because
interesting. I really
also
liked,
because
and when I found, when you guys said the Netflix one was produced by the company that put on the festival or whatever, like, I was watching it trying to see if they had, like, a bias, like, we're going to paint ourselves in a good light kind of picture. And I never kind of got that. Like,
no, it was the media company that, like, shot the commercial. They didn't paint themselves in a good light, but they never said anything bad about themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, not once.
Yeah. Well, and
the Hulu one, they always, because they're always like, first of all, the company name is Fuck Jerry, which is. I just hate it.
Scratching
I hate it
BJ's
so much. Yes.
Itch.
No, like the company's
so,
named Jerry.
All the Fuck Jerry guys.
The company's named Jerry Media. Their Jerry Instagram account is Fuck Jerry. Yeah.
Well, when they refer to them, they're always just saying the Fuck Jerry guys. Okay. These are the Fuck Jerry guys.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah.
And so all these Fuck Jerry guys come in, and I'm like, I hate all of you so much. Yeah. Like, I can't stand you. I want to see you all burn.
And I guess the implication is, like, if you were there, you know, all along the way filming stuff, like, you knew what was going down.
Yeah.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of. But like they were saying in the Netflix one, at least, that at the end of it, he's like, when you make a BMW commercial, if the BMW decides to blow up and, like, everyone that bought that car dies, like, the guy that shoots the commercial is not responsible for that. And so, like, that, I get it. I'm like, you're not, like, if you're there and you're like, okay, this is going to be a big party or whatever. And they were only involved at the very, very beginning of, like, do this part. And then their company was complete, I mean, same building, basically, same umbrella company. Mm-hmm. But they're doing all this other stuff. And, like, especially in the one that I saw, they're like, we had no idea what the festival guys were doing. We're still running this media company trying to get up and running.
I felt bad for those guys.
Right. And they're the media company guys.
Yeah. No, that's the fire company guys.
Oh, right.
The one thing in the Netflix one that I'm like, I'm happy. I watched it because I didn't get it in the other documentary was the guy that was going to go across town to get the water.
Yes. Oh, he's not in the Hulu one?
Oh, no. So good.
No.
So that guy's
a lot of the
integral
same people.
Part.
Yeah.
They have a lot of the same people in it and then just interviewed at clearly at different places and different times.
Because that guy was like, I don't know his history. He doesn't really go into the history of him with Billy, but his relationship is like, I'm the guy that can fix the problems. And he's like, okay, I need your help. And he flies in and he's like, okay, what are we going to do? And they try everything they can. And man, oh man, I couldn't believe that part.
When he was going there, I was like, I'm like, listen, all of a sudden, whatever else you're doing or fidgeting with, you're like, what?
Because he's like, I was so locked and loaded on this thing.
Right.
I had no phone. I was like, what the fuck am I watching? But so long and short of it, they were trying to get all these waters filled or all these trucks filled with Fiji water in. Since it's coming from out of the country, it stopped at customs. And customs is like, we need X amount of money for us to get this. And then he calls up
$175,000.
I believe that. I remember in Aruba, there was a thing about the water because they had the Aruba water.
Yeah.
But other water. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
And so Billy calls his right hand man guy and he's like, I need you to go down there and I need you to get the water and I need you to get it. And the guy's personally telling the story. Obviously, Billy's not in this Netflix
documentary.
So the guy is telling, forget his name. He's
Andy
telling
King.
Andy?
Yeah.
Okay. So Andy's telling the story.
Impressive.
And he's like, yeah, Billy calls me. And then he looks to the side and he's like, yeah, I guess this isn't really going to go anywhere. So I can, I'll say it, whatever. I don't care. And then he starts talking into the camera again. Mm-hmm. And he, the long and short of it, he's like, Billy says, I need you to go down there and suck this guy's dick to get the water. And he's like, and I was doing that.
He said, you're our gay, fearless leader.
Yes.
Yeah.
I need you to go down there.
I need you to go down there and suck this guy's dick to get us our water. And then he's like, and then I went in the bathroom and I got myself all ready and I took a shower. I put some mouthwash in and I was legitimately going down there to suck his dick. And I was like, you just said that in this documentary, dude. Like, what?
He's like, I was, and but the way he delivered it was so like honest and earnest. He's like,
yeah,
I was going to do that.
And he's like, my whole career, I've had this career for X amount of years, like my whole career, and it came down to me legitimately going to suck some guy's dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To save this festival for Billy, who could give two shits about anybody but Billy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just was like, wow.
What's good too in the Hulu one is they interview Billy's girlfriend. And in the course of the Hulu
interview.
He has
a girlfriend?
Yes.
Yes. And she's still with him.
She's like, now I'm watch this Hulu
one. Like,
yeah. She's waiting. She's waiting for him.
Wow.
But anyway, you could see her kind of like almost coming to Jesus, like realizing that maybe he's a shyster. Like because they're presenting.
Yeah, her. Fake?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, know. But the thing is that shyster is going to get money somehow eventually when he gets out.
Maybe. And maybe she, right, and she might, you know, it might be one of those things. It's a thrill for her. Like,
ride
you know,
the train.
Yeah.
He called her during her interview. Do you remember that part? It was towards the end. She's like, oh, he's calling me right now.
That's what happened to that the other Bahama guy.
Yeah,
guys.
The guy, yeah. Billy, hey.
Hey, he's like, hey, you want me to say something to the camera for you? No, okay. But like, so it was such a crazy ride, dude. Like, so you said you didn't like the influencers or the Instagram models or any of those people that went down there for the initial party.
Yes.
Like, what's your problem with them?
Some
that's
of those
their whole quote unquote job.
Supermodels.
Right.
But not just
the supermodels I didn't have a problem with. No, it was the people who were like, hey, we're in the airport. You know, I was like.
So you didn't like the guests.
Yeah, the influencers. Like, yeah. Isn't that what they were referring to? Like,
do you know what an influencer is?
They're the like
they weren't
like
the influencers.
Isn't that like Khloe Kardashian and stuff? Aren't they the
those?
The,
yeah, the they didn't go. They didn't go to the festival.
Yeah, none of the influencers were there. All the people that were
I thought they were referring
airport.
To all of the like Instagram people.
No,
as influencers.
No, but yeah, like the people on the plane when they're like, we thought it was going to be the spinny propeller kind of plane. It's like
the girl's like, this must be a private jet.
It says private. Plane in the description.
Yeah, but
how can you be mad at them for going, it's just supposed to be a private plane?
Because what she says is, and this is like the worst, lowest class thing.
Because it is!
But in like, her attitude is this classes, well, classes that comes out, classesness that comes out.
I don't feel bad for them at all because you were too stupid to do the freaking math. If you're paying $5,000 and it's 2 weeks, private jets, food, all booze in the Bahamas... And you didn't think, you know, that sounds a little too good to be true.
Right.
Kind of fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, but, use your head.
But
I don't feel bad at all.
I do. I totally do. 100%. Because it's what's advertised.
That's right.
And it might be too good to be true, but at the same time, guess what? It's there in front of you the whole time.
Yeah. It's right up there with when eBay was first a thing. Oh, you can get an Xbox on eBay for $1.50. Oh, really? I bet you can. No, of course not. Idiot. Like, use your brain.
Dang it, because they have these Macs on Amazon, like refurbished for $375 or something.
That's probably true.
That's probably true. Yeah. It's probably old as F.
Yeah.
I don't need an old one. I need a decent one. But,
yeah.
So
I don't know. At no point was I like, screw these like entitled suckers. Like, I never felt that the whole time.
I never felt that it was justified.
I wasn't
but
screw that.
They got what they deserved. But it was more like I was less sympathetic because of kind of how a lot of these people are.
Yeah. And none of them got hurt. I mean, there's no deaths or anything. I think there were a couple people that like spent their entire life savings to get these tickets.
Now that I do feel bad
that
for.
That one I feel
and
bad.
And also, why would you do that?
Right.
You know, why would you spend more than you can afford? And this is what I like about the Hulu one better.
Millennials.
Well, in the Hulu one, what I like about it is they spend a nice, like at least a half an hour or so just kind of explaining some of the culture of influencers and the internet and right. the way things have been and kind of leading us up to this point.
Selling experiences versus selling things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And through the, yeah. And through this, you know, through the more modern use of Instagram and social media and these images. And so,
yeah,
they just set it up really well to kind of explain it well, where we're at as a culture. And so I thought it was just a little bit more socially significant.
The Fire app developers and those employees, they have my sympathy.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
They were actively told, no, don't worry about this. Like, it's going to be a great promotional for our app that we're working on, blah, blah, blah. You just, you know, they basically told, stay in your lane and mm-hmm. we'll handle this and their livelihoods and jobs. And for some of them, their personal finances were ruined because of it.
Well, a lot, even the guys that were on the festival side, yeah. where he's like, Billy yeah. started putting this on my car, on my credit, because yeah. I had the Magnesis thing, and he had access to my account, and I didn't know that, and he started charging their yep. accounts, and now they're like $100-something thousand in debt, because they worked there. Like, yeah. that's fucked.
How are we going to do that? I know. We'll sell some luxury suites.
Well, the one lady's like, do we have each. Suites? Like, he's like, just doesn't put
matter.
The ad out.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't yeah. matter.
She's like, do we have that? He's like, put the ad. But do we, yeah. I said, put, okay.
Yeah. But everyone trusts Ja Rule. I mean, come on.
Where? Find Ja Rule, get hold of this motherfucker so I can make sense of all this.
That was the thing. Towards the end of the Netflix one, I'm like, I was legitimately right. asking, where is Ja?
Is that him on the phone call at the very end?
That was Billy.
No, I don't think
oh,
so.
What now?
In the Netflix one. There's like this like big conference call, but people oh. are on video.
And someone was trying to like
and
hype them
somebody
up.
Is trying to, and I'm like, that sounds like Ja again.
Like him, but not quite.
But not quite, but I'm like, is it, and you don't see it. You don't see who it is. So I'm like, is that him? Like, yeah. We're going to turn around. We're going to be great. It's going to be great again. And then you find out at the very, very end, again, there's a splash page that's like, Ja Rule is now working with the whoever guy to like start a new
Doing
company.
The same idea with something else.
But just, yeah, that bro corporate, we're going to live like rock stars and party like movie
but
stars.
But that's all whatever. Billy, right?
What do you mean?
It was him and Ja Rule.
Well, right. Yeah, that was Ja. Yeah, that was like, yeah, their little
yeah,
thing.
And
their
the
little,
two of them.
Their little bro thing. You of know, course. Like, yeah.
So what about the other festival planners? Like the Andy guy who's the right-hand man guy who's like, I'm trying to help Billy because I trust him and this and that.
I feel bad for them.
And yeah, then the them. Other Absolutely. Older guy with the glasses who was, I forget what he was in charge, but then the music guy.
Absolutely.
The, Mark Weinstein, I think is his name. The younger guy with
the
beard. The
young guy who did all the booking.
Yes. And I'm like, all these people that are just like, what?
I feel bad for
What
them.
Do you want me to?
They got duped.
You want me to do what? And they're like, yeah, just okay.
We want you to put on a.
And he's in charge, so festival. Here we go. And
funny that Blink 182 was the trendsetter in right. canceling the right. performance.
They led the charge.
It just so much about it was like,
oh man,
I don't even know what to talk about. Like honestly, it was just my mind was blown the whole time, and I can't wait to watch the Hulu one because,
yeah you it, get like, much more Billy in that one. I think that's. Really interesting.
Do you now, having watched both, do you think that there was a bias from the other one, or do you think they did a good?
I think it was like
if you don't have Hulu, if you don't have Hulu, would you think you'd get the full story?
I think you probably would feel like yeah, you got the story.
Yeah, you get enough.
Yeah,
I mean, you can get the story on YouTube,
right?
From Internet Historian, it's like 11-minute video, and literally all the information that's in both docs is in there. Like all the key information, they don't.
We're
like, it's not as editorialized and
right.
blown out and lengthened. Obviously,
it's just
like
right.
10 minutes. Yeah. But like, hey, here's what happened. Here's who's responsible. Here's how they fucked up. And like some of the actual footage that's in the docs is in this.
I
video
couldn't believe
too.
They share a lot of the footage
yeah,
between the two.
Shared. Well, yeah. because
turn these buses around.
Well, like how?
I'm like
how? Like the I guess arrogance of Billy, like. He's filming the whole thing.
Yeah.
Even after the festival fails and he's like
this taught me
in jail and then gets out of jail, he hires the guys to film him again while he's like, I'm not doing it. This guy over here is doing it this time. Wink, wink. But he's like filming him doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And like, you're filming yourself committing these frauds. Like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm going to go murder this guy. Quick, turn on your camera. Watch me shoot him in the face. And they're like,
because
you're
truth.
Going to jail. I bail myself out. Hey, film me shooting this other guy now. Like,
yeah.
And he tells, he's like, I want to get this on film. Oh, we got to get this all on film. I'm like, what are you doing?
I think it's a very grand self-importance that history will want to hear about this.
Yeah.
You know.
Dude, I don't remember.
I'm infamous.
I don't remember the sequence of events, but what did Magnesis never failed, right?
No, he just moved on to the next.
No, and they like, but they claimed they had like 100,000 people, and it really was
right
just
when
like
he was getting investors for Fire. Yeah. He's like, look at this other company; it's doing great. But like,
he committed his first fraud before they even started.
And so he said that, like that, because it never folded, right? Is it still? I mean, I'm sure it's not now, probably not now.
Yeah.
But while the Fire stuff was happening, that company was still up and running.
I believe so. Yeah,
that's nuts to me because they don't really go into that. Where it's like, he moved on and started this other company. And I'm like, well, what happened once all this stuff started going down? What happened to Magnesis and that whole growth? Because there was people, they mentioned it briefly in the Netflix doc where they're like, all these people are giving this thing. When the one guy that like tried to take him down via Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, look at these, all these one stars reviews for whatever. And I forget what he posted. He posted one thing on Twitter, like fire fraud or something. And he's like, I got two clicks.
Yeah,
I just went to their website and I got a search error.
fire fraud?
No, the Magnesis website.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go.
But like, I forget what he tweeted out, but he's like, guys, like, and nobody saw it. So he's like, okay, whatever. But it's,
and there's a whole website dedicated to like taking the thing down.
Oh, yeah. They mentioned that too. Yeah. And I think that was firefraud.com.
And that was that same dude?
No, it was Insider because they had all this
somebody
like
on the team.
Right. The whistleblower. And I'm like, I wonder who it was.
It'd be me if I was there. Like, I hate all these people. The world must know.
Never be in that situation.
It's true, but for somehow I got like raked into it.
Like, I wonder who it was. It's very interesting to me that somebody there was like, we need to get the word out on this.
It could have been anybody, really.
Somebody who's trying to be a hero.
Maybe somebody who was asked to blow someone, perhaps. Maybe it's his revenge.
He seemed pretty dedicated, though.
Yeah, he did.
I legitimately cried when... It's in the Netflix one, obviously. It's the only one I saw. Mm-hmm. When they're talking to the restaurant owner, the restaurant bar owner lady, the black lady, and she's like, I had all these people. They came in. They said they were going to do this, and it ruined me. I took out all my savings so I could pay them what little I had because she felt bad that she was like, we got this under control. These guys got it all under control. They're going to pay for
a lot of money. Look at all the jet skis.
And they did. They paid a bunch of – they brought in a bunch of stuff, obviously. They're paying for this. They're paying for that. And then she went – and she's like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't like talking about it. And then the camera just sat there rolling. And I was like, gah. I was crying. I literally cried.
That make you feel better.
Why is that?
People have donated a bunch of money to her.
To her specifically?
Yep.
That's good.
That does make me feel better.
It does. Yeah. But like, it was...
After this came out, everyone was like, whoa.
Heartbreaking.
That people have to fix this.
Like, heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah.
And like, not just, like, she's the face of it, but so is the other guy on the beach, who's like, he's like, we need more people. So I went out and got more people. And he's like, we need more people. So he's like... I went out and got more people.
Yeah, the
and
whole
like,
island.
Yeah, everyone's here working. And it's that guy's their like point of contact to Billy.
Yeah.
And like, I'm wondering when everything went down, like why they're talking to this guy and like why he answers the phone and he's like so friendly to Billy. Like, when did they interview that guy? You know what I mean? Like, because he's like answering the phone like, hey, Billy, like, what's up? You want me to say anything? But they had to run for their lives.
Yeah.
Because the townspeople that didn't get paid were going to take them hostage and murder and torture them until they got their money.
Yeah.
And they had to run for it. Pitch and he just and answers the phone like, hey, Billy, like, you want me to say something to the camera? Like, how are you that friendly? Like, what do you... But again, like, that's what... The sociopath does like he just is that guy that's like, you will love me until I kill you, and you know what, you're gonna love me for killing you.
I would imagine he got that call and they're like, oh, please answer that and like just keep him on the phone.
But when do you think that was? Do you think it was after? Obviously it was after.
Yeah,
because he's telling stories about it's just crazy that he answers it and he's like, hey, I mean, we don't see the whole phone call at all. Whatever. So we don't know what they really talked about. But, like, the fact that he's friendly with the guy that totally fucked him in his whole country.
Yeah.
Oh, golly. There was a lot to digest in this thing.
It was. Yeah. I'll say that, like, especially when I was watching the Hulu one, I was thinking about, okay, now the Netflix one. And I start to watch the Netflix one, I'm like, I had to like stop because I don't like these people. I don't like them. And so I'm like, I don't want to hear about these folks anymore.
Yeah.
And that's why, that's the one thing about it. Like, with some of these shows, especially this reality, kind of, One's like Wild Wild Country or Wild Country. Mm-hmm. It's interesting and it's like cool to see. And you kind of like Wild Country, for example, you have great empathy on like all sides of all the debates, the townspeople, the cult members, the Rajneeshis. Yeah. But this one, I'm like, I don't like these.
Any of them.
Any of them.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like the festival goers, and I don't like the festival staff. I do like the Islanders. I mean, the Islanders were nice. And some of the smaller players. But there was a culture that just makes me ashamed.
How the other half lives. Yeah. But it's like, that's always a draw, though. Like, we go back to, like, Lifestyles of Rich and Famous. Like, mm-hmm. we love it. We love seeing how the other half lives. And, like, you there is, like, a schadenfreude when they're like, ha-ha, like, these rich assholes got theirs,
yeah.
And so I get it, but at the same time, like, the festival guests, like, I'm like, oh, man, that stinks for those guys.
Yeah.
And then, like, the emails start coming through, like, get your Grammy tickets, get your tickets to this, get your tickets to that. Frank. I'm like, what? Who is this Frank guy?
And people still gave them.
He's like, they got $100,000 from that. Like, it's like, what? Dude, the one guy, the one, like, main guy that was like, fuck this, and he, like, had everything printed, the guy that filed the lawsuit.
Yeah.
He's like, like, he knew.
Yeah.
Like, he was the only guy that kind of had an idea, but he's like, I
was he the dude with the end of the receding hairline?
Yes.
Yeah. He was, like, the main, like, yeah.
The lawsuit guy. Yeah.
Right.
The main festival goer.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, I liked him a lot.
Like, I love how it highlighted. It's like he was awarded like $5 million in the settlement, which he's still waiting to get paid for. I'm like,
of course he is.
Right. Yeah. Who's going to pay it?
He's
right.
Never going to see
who's
going to
pay it?
People, please.
Find Ja Rule, get hold of this motherfucker so I can make sense of all this.
We need that Dave Chappelle clip where he's like, people are upset about his show.
Yeah.
It's like, people, I know you're upset. I know you're mad. I know you, but understand one thing. You will never get your fucking money back. I need Dave Chappelle to tell all his people. People, I know the tents aren't what they thought they were, but you will never get your money
back. Like, just the way that they handle the stuff when they finally get the people there and they're like, take them to the bar. Yeah, this place looks great.
Tequila.
And then they took them all, and everyone's like, when are we going to go to the villas? Yeah. Like, when are we going to go see my room?
Yeah.
And
where's my stuff?
And then they get there, and, like, there's nothing there, and, like, the lockers that are supposed to lock their shit up aren't even unpacked yet. Like, the shit show that it was.
The lockers didn't have locks on them.
Like, blows my mind about. And the guys that were there trying to make it happen, like, yeah, I feel bad for those guys too. Where they're like,
all those tents,
and they're like, what are we like? What do you mean we're going to put these people here? And like the fact, dude, the one part that I was like, oh, like it, when you could see it all start to turn to shit, was when they're like, we weren't. The one thing they explicitly said in the contract was you can't say it's Pablo Escobar's Island. And then the first ad says Pablo Escobar's Island. And they're like, we had to move. From that point on, we had to move. And I was like, you barely had enough room on that other island. Yeah. And now that you're going over here, like, I was like, oh, no. And especially since you know that it's a shit show anyway, right. Like, spoiler, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're like, I know that this turns out bad. But then from that point, I was like, oh, when they fired that one guy who was like, you can't fit them here. We have to have the cruise ship. We're not doing the cruise ship thing anymore. Oh, he's like, what?
We need a new island. Well, the only one left is Zombie Island. Right. Yeah. Let's do it.
But he's like, you can't fit this many people here. There's no plumbing. There's no toilets. Like, we need to buy 100,000 toilets. Or he's like, we need to buy 1,500 toilets. And they're like, what are you talking about? He's like, where are you going to put people's waste?
Yeah.
And he's the only guy. And then they got rid of him.
I don't know if it was in the Hulu or Netflix one where they're like, in emails, they're like, they won't need to poop. They're not going to eat.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to give them food.
I worked catering for years, and just watching this, like, I was like, oh, my God. They have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
This is a complete shit show.
I love it.
So we need to put on a festival. We could do a better job, guys.
Probably. Like, it can't be worse. Like, there's no way it
can stay
be
within
worse.
Stay within reason and like within hey, keep expectations mean? Low.
We're gonna get to play the music.
You get a second napkin.
DJ in the biz.
I mean, I mean, that's
get,
like
that's a get we can get.
That's his whole thing. It's like that's how he ran his life, his businesses or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, shoot big and just take the money and run type thing. But it's like, And everyone just went, like, you don't give the guy enough credit for being such a good sociopath. Like, as weird as that sounds.
They're caught up in the dream.
No, but he's so, like, watching him on film and knowing what you know, you're like, that guy's a fucking sleaze. Like, there's no way.
Right.
But you,
if you ran into him, maybe.
You'd be like, yeah, we can do this. Everyone involved is like, we can't, all the festival, like, even the Booker guy, Weinstein, he's like, you can't do this. Like, you can't, first time festivals can't do what he's doing.
Yeah.
But he's like, he says we can do it. He promised we can do it. So let's do it. And then he just goes, because, like, that's his job, you know, basically. And he's like, oh, these guys are going to pay a lot of money to do this big thing. And, like, yeah, he's so captivated. He can sell, you know, he's just a salesman. And, like, he just sells it.
Excitement is exciting. You know, people who are, like, pumped about something, it's like,
I'm going to be part of the big thing.
Yeah.
The biggest thing.
Yeah.
Do you guys watch Silicon Valley?
Yes. Yes.
He reminded me of, like, a young version of Belson.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just, yes. like, just so incompetent.
Yeah.
And, you know,
puts but on so, a like, we show. Can do this. Yeah, we can do this. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, man. So, anyway, any more thoughts on that? I mean, watch it, for sure.
Yeah, watch it.
Like, absolutely. It's super, yeah, it's worth watching. Super captivating.
Fascinating.
And, like,
you may not watch it again.
Well, no, I don't. I mean, I'm curious to watch the Hulu one.
Yeah, that's worth it.
Like, I'm curious.
I'll watch that one.
Yeah. That's worth it. I mean, I think, but.
And you said it's not as well, because the Netflix one is really well done. Like,
I didn't think it was not as well done. I thought it was
okay.
As well done. It was just a little different. They, like I say, they give it, like, I like the way that they give a little preface to the story by kind of setting the tone for the culture. And plus the interviews with Billy are make it better.
Dude, my favorite part was when they were talking. It was that Weinstein guy who I think I liked him kind of the best of the festival planner guys, or the older guy with the glasses. He was cool too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, when he's like, and then the day before, it starts to rain, mm-hmm. and we just stood there and laughed. And I was like, man,
yeah, like, I was really like there, like in that moment of like,
I was with him,
where you're like, yeah. we are so beyond fucked. Yeah, like there right. is zero chance we're gonna get.
Well, then he sent the email like, guys, we have to cancel this. We have to, and he got the thing back like. People are going to look, you're going to look good doing yoga or whatever was the response. Yeah. I was like, what?
And it's the way he did it was like, because I was going to be the yoga teacher.
Right. Here we go. Or whatever he says. I was like, dude. Man.
Let me off of this. Let me out.
I want off this ride.
I want off of Mr. Toad's wild ride.
Everybody tried to say, like, what are we doing?
Oh, man.
I do want to go to that pig island, though. That looks pretty cool.
The actual one where they can swim.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looks dope.
And the company,
the only island left is big.
It'll only cost you $4,000.
And the initial commercial looks
it looks good.
Legit.
Yeah. It looks good.
Yeah. Anyone would be like, yeah, I want to go there. Absolutely.
It looks like the little promos for Wheel of Fortune, resort giveaways.
Yeah. And the people that were like, oh, there's going to be the influencers there because they said they were going to be there.
Yeah.
Like they said they're going to be there. They're going to live in the house there and they're going to show up and party. Hang like everyone wants models. That. Just like when after the fact he's trying that new scam with New York Pete or Frank or whatever his name is. Yeah. And he's like Taylor Swift meet and greets. And like people are like catching on that like she doesn't do those ever. Yeah. Like, what do you mean you're trying to sell a meet and greet with Taylor Swift?
No, I've got
like,
200 Hamilton tickets.
Right. It's like, yeah, buy them here.
Saturday night.
Buy them here in this email. From Frank. Like, what?
Seems legit.
And people did, which blows my mind. But anyway.
Because people are dumb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Good times. Any other good thoughts times. About anything? No.
Oh, Pro Bowl, guys. Pro Bowl.
Oh, that's just happening. Like, just happened.
Oh, yeah. As of this recording, it'll be yesterday. Yay.
But the next one, hopefully it'll be nice to record after the, if we can. After
Sunday
the,
night.
Yeah, we'll be good to record Sunday night.
Yes.
Talk about the commercials and the game.
How the Patriots are whooped. Oh, that's a real quick little tidbit. Did you guys see, is it sort of news, did you see the Jeff Bridges thing? Did you see it?
No.
So Jeff Bridges, there's commercial, a mm-hmm. teaser, something or other. It's like this little shot that like pans across like a broken plate of food. Somebody steps over it, pans up. You see kind of a hanging down sweater, pans up further, and it's Jeff Bridges as the dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says 2/3/19 or whatever. Like the Super Bowl, date of the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's going to be a...
So it's like an ad for a commercial.
Yeah. Starring the dude.
Right. But everyone's like, maybe they're going to announce Big Lebowski 2. Like, that's what people are saying.
That's what the Coen
brothers do. Right.
right.
But it's probably just going to be a cool commercial.
Yeah.
Even if, like, what was the long con? Was it the Tide Ad one? The long con where they, like, put out the fake movie trailer for...
Australia?
Yeah. Yes, that one.
Brilliant.
Was that Tide Ad or was that...
No, that was
for Australia. Yeah, that was actual, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, where it was Crocodile Dundee. Right. That's what it was.
Right. That's the Crocodile Dundee 3 or something with Jack Black.
Crocodile Dundee 4 with Danny McBride.
That's right.
Yes. Where it was a full-on trailer.
Brilliant.
And then they're like, more scenes from the movie, and then like, oh, yeah, we're not doing that.
And then they had the Ferris Bueller one, too.
I kind of remember that. Yeah.
But like so this just to me screams another long con to get to something. But I'm curious to know because like do you want to see the dude as much as you can?
Yeah,
so I'm like,
sure.
Let's see what this is about. Yeah. Snickers commercial, you know, something stupid.
Who's halftime? Is it Maroon 5?
Yes.
Boo.
Yeah, I guess I'll be like,
they
doing something else.
Somebody.
Playing
they had trouble. I mean, trouble finding people.
It'd be fine. I'll watch it.
That's like the Oscars. They're hostless.
Yes.
That's
good times.
That's good.
But like, is like Maroon 5, no one really cares, but whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe
I'll watch
it.
I like their early stuff, so hopefully they play a lot of that.
I will definitely get a third hot dog.
I'm definitely going to.
They are not controversial, so.
That is true.
Exactly.
People love him on The Voice. He's charming.
Mm. He's charming. Yeah. He's a charming dude.
Anyway, let's wrap this thing up.
Thanks, Casey.
Yeah, man.
It's good to see you, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, we need to
You want to plug anything?
Do people
come to see your show? Or?
Come National Comedy Theater. We've got workshops as well. We've got stand-up and improv workshops, actually.
Nice. And, that's Mission Hills, is that right?
Mission Hills, right next to Shakespeare's Pub.
So if you haven't been, it's almost a San Diego institution. I mean, like, and it's an excellent night out. You can go get some dinner right in that same neighborhood, same area, and then go see
Shakespeare's Pub.
There you go.
It really is fun.
Yeah, go see the like improv
really
show.
Fun.
Oh, and actually, something
I kind of thought that maybe you would be in that, like at some point, be a part of NCT.
I would love to, but I am busy.
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
There's auditions on Sunday.
I know. I saw you post it. I'm like, man, oh man, it's Thursday. Thursday nights are the shows for that, right?
Yes.
That's funny. I have in-house auditions. They were could have been today, but I decided to go tomorrow.
I would love to go. But I don't have time. When I get off work, it's 6:30 at night. Like, doesn't really bode well for signing up to be in shows. So that's why for the last 2.5 years, I have yet to do anything fun.
Oh. you lose at fantasy football all the time.
Oh, that's fun.
He does that very well.
That's fun.
Remember when I started off really, really good in that league? I was first place undefeated 6-0. And then because all my players got injured and I was first place with the last waiver priority for 6 weeks in a row, I couldn't get anybody because the stupid league won't change the fab.
Fab is best.
What's the fab now?
Free agent acquisition budget. And you basically blind bid on the players that you want.
I don't like that.
It's fucking great.
I don't like that.
That's what we did in our league.
I know, but I didn't like. No one ever really used it.
I did.
Put a buck in, you know, and then you're like,
then you didn't get them.
I got players for zero many times.
Well, that's because I didn't set it up the way it should be set up.
Yeah,
but I'm learning. But it is way better because it's it's fair. That's 2 years in a row now where the same thing happened to me in that same league where I was in first place undefeated and then my players got hurt. And because I can't pick up anybody.
Because they prioritize it as the
because I'm too good. Right.
Right.
Exactly. And that's stupid. It's stupid and I hate it.
So you don't like the idea of the draft going last to first either?
No, that's different. That's a draft. That's a whole different ballgame.
Isn't it the same? You're kind of rewarding punishing the team that did well?
Oh, no. We don't do, like, draft order based on standings. That's different.
Well, but the claim order, I mean, isn't it kind of the same? If you
were talking about two
claims,
different things.
Free agent claims, right?
Right.
And they're assigned worst to best. Like,
right.
But why? Why is that a good thing?
Well, I mean, why
should
you
be punished if you're a good team?
To make it competitive, the same reason we have the NFL draft.
Isn't paying attention and knowing who the players are making it competitive? Like,
it's one draft, though. I mean, at the beginning of the year, that's just one draft. And then throughout, I mean, yeah, it's backwards. It doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I mean, it's the same spirit, though. I mean, the spirit of that rule is the
I've
same
lost
thing.
Twice now in a row the same situation because I couldn't replace people.
I mean, I've won three championships in that format, so I don't know what your problem is.
Twice. I only lost the championship in the
but
last.
How many of your players got, like, brutal injuries when you're dominating?
A few.
If it wasn't for that bomb to Percy Harvin, I would have won the championship.
Anyway, it's frustrating.
Because I grab handcuffs.
When?
Handcuff.
You can't draft a handcuff.
You sure can.
Why would you do that?
Because
anyway.
You know, you predict the future.
Yeah. Or sometimes it doesn't work out.
I suppose.
If you took Le'Veon Bell before this season started and didn't pick up James Conner, you deserved everything you got.
Well, I won one out of three leagues. Oh, wait. That's 33% victory. Me? I didn't draft Le'Veon Bell.
Who drafted Le'Veon Bell?
My brother, Jacob, who finished in 10th place. Yeah. But he drafted his two, for he was 10th pick, and his two picks back to back were Le'Veon Bell and Devonta Freeman. Ouch. Both of them didn't play after 5 minutes of the season. Anyway, enough football talk at the end. I'm excited about Super Bowl. It's going to be great. Go Patriots. But with...
I'm still having a very hard time swallowing that.
I know. It's gross.
You.
I know. It's gross. It is gross. But anyway, thanks out there for listening. Be sure and check out the NCT, National Comedy Theater, and check out an improv
before
show.
We go, man, we didn't hardly hear any from Mikey today, man. I feel a little bad he came out and we didn't like really say
no worries. It's all good.
Anything new happen, you know, or anything cool?
I'm happy to be here. That's all I'm
so sweet.
Good times. But thanks out there for listening, and this has been Life's a Binge. I am Jared.
I'm BJ.
Rich.
Casey.
And Mike.
Woohoo! And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge. Bow, 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 bow. Ow, wow.
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right. We built this city.